Unit 10, Jahangir 1605-1627 and Nur Jahan. Page 58, Structure. 10.0, Objectives. 10.1, Introduction. 10.2, Early Career. 10.3, Accession to the Throne. 10.4, Revolt of Khusrau, 1606. 10.5, Execution of Guru Arjan Dev, 1606. 10.6, Rise of Nur Jahan. 10.7, War with Mewar. 10.8, Revolt in Bengal, 1612. 10.9, Deccan Policy. 10.10, Conquest of Kangra, 1620. 10.11, Loss of Kandahar, 1622. 10.12, Revolt of Khurram, that is Shah Jahan. 10.13, Revolt of Mahabat Khan. 10.14, Role of Nur Jahan. 10.15, Contact with Europeans. 10.15.1, Jahangir and Portuguese. 10.15.2, Relations with the Jesuits. 10.15.3, Relations with the English. 10.16, End of the Regime. 10.17, Estimate of the Reign of Jahangir. 10.18, Let us sum up. 10.19, Questions for self-study. 10.20, Books for further study. Page 59. 10.0, Objectives. By studying this unit, you are going to learn about the early career of Jahangir and his accession, Khusrau's attempt to secure the throne, Jahangir's misunderstanding with Sikh Guru Arjan Dev, which resulted in the latter's execution, Jahangir's war with Mewar and the submission of Rana Amar Singh, rise of Nur Jahan, role of Nur Jahan's Janta in Mughal administration, revolt of Khurram and Mahabat Khan against the intrigues of Nur Jahan, Deccan policy of Jahangir, loss of Kandahar as a result of internal conflict, Jahangir's friendly attitude towards Europeans, and personality of Jahangir. 10.1, Introduction. After the death of Akbar, his son Jahangir ascended the throne in 1605 and ruled up to 1627. His period witnessed the fruition of the empire which Akbar had gloriously built. Jahangir married Nur Jahan in 1611. Afterwards, it was Nur Jahan who dominated the affairs of the state. She formed her own Janta or Klish. It was supreme in the empire till 1627. Afterwards, because of her intrigues, the Janta broke up. She even tried to prevent the claims of Shah Jahan to the throne. The result was that Shah Jahan raised the standard of revolt against Jahangir, followed by Mahabat Khan's revolt. Thus, the closing years of Jahangir's reign were moved by many revolts. 10.2, Early Career. Salim was born on 30th August 1569 of a Rajput princess, a daughter of Raja Biharimal of Amber. He was a child of many prayers. Akbar's first two sons, Hasan and Hussein, died in infancy. Having lost two sons already, Akbar fervently prayed for an heir who would perpetuate his dynasty. He besought the blessings of the famous Saint Sheikh Salim Chishti. Thus, the third son in line, Salim, was born after many prayers. Page 60. But he was called by Akbar as Sheikhu Baba. Salim's two younger half-brothers, each from a different mother, Murad and Daniel, were born in June 1570 and September 1572 respectively. Akbar took keen interest in the upbringing of his children. He deputed distinguished teachers and commanders to impart education and military training to the princes. But all the three surviving sons of Akbar, who attained maturity, fell victims to the vices of age and became addicted to wine and women. As a result, Prince Murad died in 1599 and Daniel in 1604. Salim was also addicted to these vices. He withstood the strain of excesses because of his better physique. In conformity with the prevailing practice, the prince was associated with high public duties in order to train him for higher responsibilities. He was trained in the arts of war and with business of administration. He also learned many languages such as Persian, Turkey, Arabic and Hindi. He exhibited a scholarly taste in the study of arithmetic, history, geography and general sciences. Salim was fond of music, painting and fine arts. He composed verses both in Hindi and Persian. In 1585, Salim married Manbai, the daughter of Raja Bhagwan Das of Amber. By this marriage was born Khusrau. The ill-fated prince Khusrau, who lived a stormy life and died a tragic death. Salim revolted many times against Akbar. First, in 1591, he made an unsuccessful attempt to capture power. A few years later, in 1599, he reorganized a more serious revolt. Taking advantage of his father's absence in the Deccan, he assumed independence and bestowed jagirs and titles on his supporters. But cleverly, Akbar persuaded through assurances and procured the submission of Prince. Salim was offered the governorship of Bengal and Orissa. The next year, relations between Akbar and Jahangir once again got strained following the murder of Abul Fazl by Bir Singh Deva, a Bundela chief. Encouraged by the growing estrangement between father and son, a plot was organized in the court to supersede Salim and nominate his son, Prince Khusrau, as Akbar's successor. The plot was frustrated and a reconciliation was effected between Akbar and Salim. He came to Agra and threw himself at Akbar's feet. The emperor not only forgave Salim, but also appointed him as his heir apparent. Akbar could not take any stiff stand against Salim because all his children had died. Thus, Salim was the only son and heir to the throne. 10.3. Accession to the throne. Salim succeeded to the throne at Agra on 3rd November 1605, exactly on the 8th day of Akbar's death, who died on the midnight of 25th-26th October 1605. At the age of 36, and assumed the title of Nur-ud-Din Muhammad Jahangir. Page 61. Jahangir inaugurated his reign by promulgating 12 edicts to be observed by the people as rules of conduct. These edicts provided relief to the people in different matters. They testified to the emperor's genuine case for the people, his ardent desire to improve their lot, and also his progressive outlook. The promulgation of the edicts made him very popular. 10.4. Revolt of Prince Khusrau, April-May 1606. Jahangir, within a few months after his accession, had to face the revolt of his son Khusrau. It has been already narrated that Khusrau, with the help of his maternal uncle Raja Man Singh and father-in-law Mirza Aziz Koka, had tried to occupy the throne, but he had narrowly missed it. Jahangir, after ascending the throne, forgave his son. He made separate arrangement within the Agra fort for his stay. This reconciliation was also due to the efforts of Raja Man Singh. It did not last long. However, as soon as Raja Man Singh left for Bengal, the difference between father and son cropped up again. Jahangir confined Prince Khusrau in one corner of Agra fort. He could not reconcile himself with his humiliating position. Therefore, he decided to escape from this humiliating position to make preparations for another attempt to overthrow his father. On the evening of 6th April 1606, he escaped from Agra with 350 horsemen with the pretext of visiting the tomb of Akbar at Sikandra. At Mathura, he was joined by Hussein Beg with 300 horsemen. Khusrau fled towards Delhi. On his way, he plundered a royal treasure worth a lakh of rupees. A number of soldiers joined Khusrau. It is estimated that by the time he reached Delhi, his supports numbered 12,000. In spite of this, he could not enter Delhi because it was very well guarded by the soldiers who remained loyal to Jahangir. Then he marched towards Lahore. Abdur Rahim Diwan of the Punjab also joined Khusrau. He tried to enter Lahore, but it was very well defended by its governor Dilwar Khan. When Jahangir came to know about all these activities of his son Khusrau, he ordered Sheikh Farid, Mir Bakshi, to chase with other Mansabdars. Khusrau met also the Sikh Guru Arjan Dev and obtained his blessings. All the roads were blocked and he was asked to surrender, but Khusrau refused. Finally, at the battle which was fought at Bhairowal, Khusrau was defeated and was taken prisoner. He was brought before Jahangir. Khusrau was sent to prison. Many of his followers were put to death. Subsequently, Khusrau was blinded, although he partially recovered his eyesight after some time. 10.5. Execution of Guru Arjan Dev, 1606. One of the black marks in the reign of Jahangir was the assassination of Sikh Guru Arjun Dev. When Khusrau revolted against his father, he passed through Govindwal, where Guru Arjun Dev had encamped. Page 62. Since he knew the Guru since the days of his grandfather, he met him and sought his blessings, then moved away. By this incident, Jahangir was upset and decided to punish the Sikh Guru. Accordingly, Sikh Guru Arjun Dev was asked to pay a fine of ₹2 lakh for having supported a state criminal. Guru refused to pay the fine. Jahangir ordered the execution of Guru Arjun Dev. Accordingly, he was executed on 30th May 1606. This event led to the estrangement of relations between the Mughal government and the Sikhs and ultimately led to open confrontation. The execution was greatly resented and Sikhs declared him as a martyr for the cause of religion. 10.6. Rise of Noor Jahan and her role in Mughal Empire. Noor Jahan's role in the Mughal Empire as the Queen of Jahangir constitutes one of the most fascinating events. In 1611, Jahangir married Noor Jahan. The marriage proved to be a turning point in the career of Jahangir and it also affected the fortunes of the empire for over a decade. According to Beni Prasad, for the full 15 years, that celebrated lady stood forth as the most striking and the most powerful personality in the Mughal Empire. Noor Jahan's original name was Meher-un-Nisa. She was the daughter of a Persian noble, Ghiyas Beg, the son of Khwaja Muhammad Sharif, a native of Tehran. He served as a high financial official under Shahata Masp. After his death, the family fell on evil days. Therefore, Khwaja Ghiyas Beg migrated to India in search of a livelihood. He left for India along with his pregnant wife Asmat Begum, two sons and a daughter. He joined the caravan of a wealthy merchant, Malik Masood, and with his help he travelled to India. Meher-un-Nisa was born in the caravan at Kandhar. When Ghiyas Beg reached India, Malik Masood took him to Fatehpur Sikri and was introduced to Akbar. The emperor immediately appointed him in the palace. Soon he became famous as Mirza. Because of his character and intelligence, Mirza Ghiyas Beg was soon raised to the office of Diwan or superintendent of the royal household. He was known for his generosity also. Meher-un-Nisa, when she attained the age of 17, was married to a Persian youth, Ali Kali Istazlu. After his marriage, he was taken into the imperial service. He became a member of the personal staff of Prince Selim in 1598-99. Ali Kuli received the title of Sher Afghan from the prince for having killed a sher, that is a tiger, single-handed. When Selim revolted against Akbar, Ali Kuli did not support him. Jahangir, after his accession, appointed Sher Afghan as the Faujdar of Burdwan, Bengal, when Raja Man Singh was appointed as the governor of Bengal. But Jahangir suspected many officers, including Sher Afghan. In August 1606, Raja Man Singh was replaced by Qutubuddin Khan as the governor of Bengal. Qutubuddin summoned Sher Afghan and interrogated. Page 63. There was a heated argument between the two. Sher Afghan, in a fit of rage, killed the governor. Finally, he himself was killed by the assistance of Qutubuddin. Jahangir was very much distressed by the murder of an efficient governor. After this incident, Meher-un-Nisa, the widow of Sher Afghan, along with her daughter Ladli Begum, was brought to the capital where her father Ghiyas Beg was working. Meher-un-Nisa was put in attendance upon the Queen Dowager Salima Begum. It was by chance that in 1611 Jahangir happened to see her during the Nowruz celebrations and was captivated by her charms. She was brought to the capital and married her in the same year. Jahangir gave her the title of Noor Mahal or Light of the Palace. The title later on was changed to Noor Jahan or Light of the World. 10.7. War with Mewar. Jahangir, after his accession, decided to continue the imperialist policy of his father. Earlier, Akbar had fought continuously against Mewar rulers, but he was not able to bring it under his control. Therefore, Jahangir decided to invade again Mewar and to bring it under the Mughal suzerainty. Therefore, in 1605, Jahangir deputed his son Pervez to invade Mewar. Then, the Mewar ruler was Rana Amar Singh. Pervez was not successful. Therefore, he was recalled again. Again in 1608, sent another expedition under the leadership of Mahabat Khan. He compelled Amar Singh to take shelter in the hills. Beyond this, no progress was made. A few more expeditions were sent, but they were not successful. Finally, this task was entrusted to Khurram on the recommendations of Nur Jahan. In 1614, Khurram marched against Mewar with a view to reduce the Rana to submission. Khurram's forces devastated the entire Rajput country. They set fire to many villages and towns. Many Rajputs, including women and children, lost their lives. The areas defended by the Rajputs were put under a state of blockade. All supplies from outside to those places were stopped. Even the water courses were diverted. At the same time, famine and epidemic broke out in Mewar. As a result of all these difficulties, Rana Amar Singh was not in a position to continue the war. His army was not a match to the mighty army of the Mughals. Finally, Amar Singh and his supporters realized the futility of continuing the struggle. In 1615, Rana sent his maternal uncle Shubha Karan to negotiate peace with the Mughals on honorable terms. Khurram and Jahangir were really happy. They agreed for a treaty on more liberal terms. According to the terms of the treaty, Rana Amar Singh recognized Jahangir as his suzerain. Jahangir restored to the Rana all the territories of Mewar, including Chittor. The Mughal emperor did not impose any arms limit on Mewar. In return for this, Rana promised that Chittor would not be fortified or repaired. Rana was exempted from attending the court in person. Instead, his son Karan was to represent him in Jahangir's court. He was enrolled as a Mansabdar of 5,000. The Rana agreed to supply a contingent of 1,000 horses to the imperial army. Jahangir did not insist on payment of any tribute by the Rana. As in the case of other Rajput chiefs, in this case, Jahangir did not insist on any matrimonial alliance with the Mughal ruling family. Page 64. The terms of the treaty reveal that Jahangir showed extraordinary leniency and generosity towards Rana Amar Singh. Commenting on the treaty of 1615, Professor S. R. Sharma says, "The treaty of 1615 AD terminates almost a century-old struggle between the two ruling houses. It must be regarded as a political triumph and a personal triumph of Khurram. The treaty between Amar Singh and Jahangir stands on a different plane from that between a Mughal ruler and any other Rajput chief of Rajasthan." Similarly, J.L. Mehta also praises the treaty. He states that, "No wonder the treaty of peace with Mewar, that is in 1615 AD, was a great landmark in the history of the Mughal rule in India. It marked the ultimate triumph of policy of political unification of the country and establishment of a nation-state of India on secular lines as envisaged by Akbar in 1562. 10.8. Revolt in Bengal, 1612 AD. Bengal was annexed to his empire by Akbar in 1575, but he did not completely crush the power of Afghans there. As a result, they were trying to become independent. Bihar and Bengal were the strongholds of Afghans. Raja Man Singh had been replaced by Qutbuddin as governor of Bengal, but he soon died. He was succeeded by Jahangir Kuli Khan. He also died within a year. Then he was succeeded by Islam Khan. He shifted his capital from Raj Mahal to Dhaka. In 1611-12, a powerful rebellion of Afghans broke out under the leadership of Usman Khan. The governor of Bengal, Islam Khan, crushed this rebellion. Usman Khan was killed in March 1612. After crushing this revolt, Jahangir tried to win over the loyalty of the Afghans. He adopted a conciliatory policy towards Afghan aristocracy, gradually absorbed them into the mainstream of national life. 10.9. Deccan policy. Like his father, Jahangir decided to conquer the Deccan. He continued his father's policy by waging wars against the Deccan rulers. Akbar had conquered towards the closing years of his reign the fort of Asirgarh, the capital of Ahmednagar. But still, major part of Ahmednagar remained under the control of Nizam Shahi nobles. The state of Ahmednagar recovered under the leadership of an able Abyssinian minister, Malik Ambar. On the throne of Ahmednagar, he placed a scion of the ruling family as the Sultan of Ahmednagar with the title of Murtaza II Nizam Shah. He established his headquarters at खिड़की और खड़की. Immediately after the death of Akbar, the new ruler of Ahmednagar kingdom reconquered many places which had been conquered by the Mughals. Even historic fort of Ahmednagar was conquered. Page 65. It was a setback to the prestige of the Mughals. Therefore, Jahangir in 1601 ordered Abdul Rahim Khan e Khana to recover the territories of Ahmednagar. But he was strongly opposed by Malik Ambar. Therefore, the Mughal army was not successful. In 1610, Prince Pervez was appointed as the Viceroy of the Deccan, but he was also not successful in subduing the Ahmednagar rulers. Afterwards, many generals such as Khan-e-Jahan Lodhi, Abdullah Khan were sent to the south to fight against Ahmednagar. All of them failed before Malik Ambar. Jahangir, after a successful conclusion of a treaty with Mewar, decided to send all the Mughal forces to the Deccan. Nurjahan also requested to entrust the work to Deccan of Khurram. Thus, Khurram was placed in charge of the invasion. He attacked fiercely Ahmednagar territories, and at the same time he opened negotiations with Malik Ambar. After seeing the large-scale invasion of Mughal army, Malik Ambar thought it was difficult to continue the struggle. Therefore, he decided to come to terms with Khurram. Thus, a treaty was concluded between the Mughals and Malik Ambar on liberal terms in 1617. The Sultan of Ahmednagar paid personal homage to Prince Khurram and paid a sum of 16 lakhs of rupees as tribute. The ruler of Ahmednagar acknowledged Jahangir as his suzerain and ceded territories of Bagalkot along with the fort of Ahmednagar to the Mughal emperor. Khurram was praised for his successes against Ahmednagar. He was given the title of Shah Jahan and was raised to a mansab, 30,000 Jat and Sabar. Malik Ambar was such a prime minister that he was never ready to accept Mughal paramountcy permanently. He was waiting for an opportunity, and within a few years he took up arms against Mughals once again and ran over the territories of Bagalkot. In 1620 he laid siege to the fort of Ahmednagar by taking the help of Bijapura and Golconda rulers. Again Khurram was asked to attack Ahmednagar rulers, but he insisted upon a condition that he should be given the charge of his eldest brother, Prince Khusrau, to be kept under his personal custody. When the Mughal troops arrived, Malik Ambar raised the siege of Ahmednagar. When Khurram was continuing the war in Deccan, he received an intelligence report that Nur Jahan at the court was hatching a plan to prevent him from being the next successor to Jahangir. In April 1621, she gave her daughter Ladli Begum in marriage to Shahryar, the youngest son of Jahangir, from a concubine. At Baharunpur, Shah Jahan came to know that Nur Jahan was preparing grounds to make Shahryar as the heir apparent to the throne. Thus, Shah Jahan was worried about his future. He hurriedly concluded peace with Malik Ambar and his allies. As the three sultans of Ahmednagar, Bijapur and Golconda accepted the suzerainty of the Mughal crown and agreed to pay tribute. Then Shah Jahan immediately along with his troops rushed to the capital. Malik Ambar took advantage of the subsequent revolt of Shah Jahan to consolidate his position. He frequently attacked the Mughal army that was stationed in Deccan till his death in 1626 AD. Page 66. 10.10. Conquest of Kangra 1620. Another important event of the reign of Jahangir was the conquest of Kangra in 1620. This fort, situated on a lofty hill, was considered an impregnable fort. This fort guarded the town of Nagarkot and the sacred shrine of the Hindus at Jwalamukhi. Firuz Shah Tughlaq and Akbar had made attempts to conquer this fortress, but they were not successful in conquering this fort. When Jahangir came to power, he ordered Murtaza Khan, governor of Lahore, to take the fort. However, he was not successful. Therefore, in 1618, Shah Jahan was entrusted with this work. He set up his camp at Lahore. From there, he directed his attack on Kangra. In this attack, he took up the help of many vassal chiefs, including Raja Sangram of Jammu. For about 14 months, the siege was continued. The fort of Kangra could not withstand these attacks. Finally, the hill chiefs of Kangra surrendered on 16th November 1620. 10.11. Loss of Kandahar, 1622. On the northwestern frontier, Kandahar was an important strategic place. It remained as a bone of contention between Persians and the Mughals. Akbar had conquered it from the hands of Persians in 1595, and it continued to be a part of the Mughal possession. But the Persians were not ready to lose Kandahar permanently during the time of Khusro's revolt. Shah Abbas of Persia made an attempt to reconquer it, but he was not successful when he could not conquer it by using force. He adopted a conciliatory policy with the Mughals. He sent to the court of Jahangir four missions from 1607 to 1621 with rich presents to please him. Finally, in 1621, Shah Abbas sent a large army to capture Kandahar and laid siege to Kandahar. Jahangir was shocked by this news and he ordered Prince Khurram or Shah Jahan to go to Kandahar and to expel the Persian army. But Prince Khurram suspected by the intrigues of Nur Jahan, he was being deliberately sent to Kandahar to bypass his claims to the throne. Therefore, he refused to obey the orders of the emperor. He revolted against Jahangir in 1622. These developments at the court led to the loss of Kandahar. After a siege of 45 days, the fort of Kandahar was captured by Shah Abbas. Jahangir could not capture it again. 10.12. Revolt of Khurram. Because of the intrigues of Nur Jahan's, Prince Khurram was forced to revolt against Jahangir in 1622. Nur Jahan was trying to overlook the claims of Khurram to be the successor of Jahangir. She was planning to make her son-in-law Shriyar as the successor to Jahangir. Page 67. Under the influence of Nur Jahan, Jahangir took away some of the jagirs of Khurram and passed on the same to Shahryar. Khurram opposed this decision. He openly expressed his resentment in 1622 when he was asked to march against Shah Abbas, who had occupied Kandahar. He openly revolted against Jahangir. When Jahangir came to know of this revolt, he marched with an army to fight against Khurram. A battle was fought between the two at a place called Balochpur in 1623. In this battle, Khurram was defeated and he was forced to retreat to Malwa. From there he moved to the Deccan. There he tried to get some assistance from Malik Amber, but he was not successful. Therefore he fled to Bengal via Telangana. He occupied Bistrasar and captured the fortress of Rohtas. From there he marched towards Allahabad with the intention of conquering it. But the imperial army stationed at Allahabad thwarted the designs of Khurram. Again he came back to the Deccan to seek the assistance of Malik Amber. By that time, Mughal generals Pervez and Mahabat Khan appeared in the Deccan. He got panicky and was helpless. By this time, many generals who had supported him deserted him. Therefore, he was not in a position to fight against imperial forces. He therefore thought of writing to Jahangir to seek his forgiveness. Shahjahan offered unconditional surrender to Jahangir. The terms of the treaty were concluded according to the directions given by Nur Jahan. Shah Jahan was forgiven and permitted to continue as the governor of Bagalkot region. In turn, in April 1526, his two sons, Dara Shikoh and Aurangzeb, aged 10 and 8 respectively, were sent as hostages to the imperial court along with 10 lakhs of rupees. The fort of Asirgarh was also handed over by him to the Mughal imperial officers. Thus, Khurram's revolt was crushed, but it caused tremendous loss to the royal treasury and created law and order problem in the empire. It was mainly due to Nur Jahan's power politics. 10.13. Revolt of Mahabat Khan. After the suppression of Khurram's revolt, another revolt occurred in the empire. It was Mahabat Khan's revolt. Mahabat Khan himself had played an important role in the suppression of Khurram's revolt. Mahabat Khan was one of the reputed generals of Jahangir. He had been attached to Prince Pervez, the second son of Jahangir, as his lieutenant and guardian. After the death of Khurram, Pervez's chances to become the successor of Jahangir became bright. The emperor raised Prince Pervez to the rank of 40,000 and Jat and 30,000 Sawar. Thus he was placed above Prince Shah Jahan, who had revolted against his father. As a result of this, Mahabat Khan, the right-hand man of Prince Pervez, wielded great influence. But Nur Jahan did not tolerate the position enjoyed by Mahabat Khan. Page 68. She decided to dislodge him from his position. Being the right-hand man of Pervez, he was likely to support him for the throne. But Nur Jahan was interested in bringing Shahryar to the throne. When Shah Jahan surrendered, Mahabat Khan and Pervez were stationed at Baharanpur, the headquarters of the Mughal viceroys of the Deccan. Nur Jahan secured orders of the emperor to separate Mahabat Khan from Pervez by being sent to Bengal as its governor. Parvez was upset by this order. Nahabat Khan was about to leave to Bengal when he received another farman which charged him with disloyalty and embezzlement. He had betrothed his daughter to one Barkhurdar, son of Khwaja Usman Naqshbandi, without obtaining the permission of the emperor. Barkhurdar was summoned to the court by Nur Jahan. He was insulted and humiliated and imprisoned. Because of these humiliations, Mahabat Khan's blood boiled. He could not tolerate all these humiliations. He decided to meet personally the emperor. Then the emperor was traveling from Kashmir to Lahore. From there, emperor had planned to go to Kabul. Nur Jahan and Asif Khan, the prime minister, accompanied the emperor. Mahabat Khan arrived in the Punjab with 4,000 or 5,000 of his faithful Rajput soldiers. He reached the place where the emperor, along with his men, was crossing the river Jhelum. But Nur Jahan cleverly ordered Mahabat Khan to keep his troops away and explain the reasons for not taking the permission regarding his daughter's betrothal and about misuse of funds. But Mahabat Khan did not care for this. He took possession of the emperor who was waiting to cross the river. Nur Jahan made a futile attempt to liberate her husband, but she was not successful. She also joined her husband, who was under captivity. Similarly, Asif Khan also submitted to Mahabat Khan. Thus, he became the dictator in the Mughal Empire. He took charge of the administration in the name of the emperor, but he treated both the emperor and the queen with respect. But Mahabat Khan could not keep the emperor and the queen in captivity for a long time. Nur Jahan resorted to cunningness and diplomacy to overthrow the dictatorship of Mahabat Khan. Towards Mahabat Khan, the royal couples adopted conciliatory policy in order to free from his clutches. They told their captor they would leave their life to the fate and were ready to continue as puppets in his hands. This resulted in Mahabat Khan's negligence. On Nur Jahan's suggestion, the schedule of royal tour to Kabul remained unchanged. It covered the whole of Indian rainy season. During this period, Nur Jahan succeeded in winning over to her side prominent generals and other important persons. She was waiting for an opportunity to overthrow Mahabat Khan's dictatorship. Only on getting sufficient number of supporters, she decided to execute her plan only during the return journey from Kabul to Lahore. She came to the conclusion that conditions were favorable to strike at Mahabat Khan. On reaching the fort of Rohtas, Nur Jahan took Mahabat Khan by surprise by making a sudden announcement to the effect that His Majesty the Emperor would review the imperial troops. Page 69. Jahangir was brought before the royal troops in an elephant and thus placed again as the head of the army. The generals and soldiers felt very happy. Mahabat Khan was shocked by this. He was terrified. He fled to Lahore along with his Rajput soldiers. He also took Asif Khan and a few members of the royal family as captives. But he was chased, and at Lahore he released all the captives and he himself surrendered. He was promptly forgiven by the emperor. Then he was asked to go to Thatta, which has been besieged by the prince Shah Jahan. Shah Jahan, instead of fighting against Mahabat Khan, happily received him because both of them had suffered at the hands of Nur Jahan. Meanwhile, in 1626, Parvez died, whose cause had been earlier supported by Mahabat Khan. Now he took up the cause of Shah Jahan to make him as successor of Jahangir. 10.14. The role of Nur Jahan. It is necessary to describe in detail about Nur Jahan's role in the Mughal administration during the reign of Jahangir. As mentioned above, Jahangir married Nur Jahan in 1611. He soon fell under the influence of Nur Jahan. He became virtually a tool in the hands of Nur Jahan. She began to interfere in the administration and she herself began to take decisions. As a result, the period between 1611 and 1627 is described as Nur Jahan's dominance. During this period, all important decisions of state were decided by Nur Jahan, and she was in fact the real power behind the throne. As it has been rightly pointed out that for full 15 years that celebrated lady, Nur Jahan, stood forth as the most striking and the most powerful personality in the Mughal Empire. She formed a mighty alliance with her father Ghiyas Beg, her brother Asif Khan and Prince Khurram, the ablest of Jahangir's sons. This was the famous Janta, which wielded great authority and exercised tremendous influence in the affairs of the empire. Noor Jahan, immediately after her marriage with Jahangir, installed her relations in the high offices of the state. Her father, Qiyas Beg, who was a mansabdar of 2,000 jat and 5,000 sawar at the time of her marriage, was raised to the rank of 7,000 jat and 7,000 sawar. He was given the title Itmad Uddaula and was subsequently given the highest position of Prime Minister. Her brother Asaf Khan, who was only a mansab of 500 zat and 100 sawar when he started his career, but afterwards he was raised to the rank of 6,000 zat and 6,000 sawar because of Noor Jahan's influence. Finally, he was appointed as Finance Minister. Khurram also in the beginning received many favors because of the recommendations of Noor Jahan. Khurram's mansab was raised to 30,000 zat and 20,000 sawar. Because of his success in the Deccan campaign, he was also given the title Shah Jahan. In 1613, Noor Jahan herself was elevated to the rank of Padshah Begum, or the first lady of the realm. She took keen interest in the affairs of the state and took decisions. On all the firmanas issued by Jahangir, the name of Noor Jahan, the Queen Begum, was jointly attached with his name. Page 70. Even Jahangir proclaimed that he had bestowed on her the powers of sovereignty. Sometimes she appeared in Jharokhai Darshan and transacted the business of state in open. She wielded enormous powers. The author of Intikhal-e-Jahangir records, nothing was wanting to make her an absolute monarch but the reading of khutba in her name. In reality, all the administration of the country was carried on by her. She was supreme in all aspects of administration. Her orders were to be obeyed by all. She made appointments to high offices. Transfers, postings and promotions, etc. were made according to her directions. She sent orders to ministers and officers which were simply obeyed by them. All ministers and officers were afraid of her because she could make or mar their career. Grant of Jagirs and withdrawal of Jagirs was made in consultation with Noor Jahan by Jahangir. Jahangir said, I have bestowed sovereignty on Noor Jahan, who is wise enough to conduct the affairs of the state. I require nothing but a bottle of wine, a piece of meat to keep myself merry. The ascendancy of Janata lasted till 1622, when Shah Jahan fell out with his father and turned a rebel. From that time onwards, Noor Jahan used all her influence with the emperor to ruin the prospects of Shah Jahan in the matter of succession to the throne. Let us examine in detail whether state was benefited or not by the interference of Noor Jahan in the administration. One good effect of Noor Jahan's influence was that she exercised healthy influence on her husband. She looked after him with full care and devotion. Because of her advice, Jahangir reduced the consumption of liquor. Jahangir could relax because Noor Jahan looked after the administration of the Mughal Empire. She was a great lover of art. She promoted it by giving patronage. She set fashion of the day. She introduced many new designs in her dress. She also gave a lot of encouragement to learning. She herself composed Persian verses. She was very kind to poor orphans and widows. She gave all sorts of help to these weaker sections of the society. The author of Iqbal-Nama-e-Jahangir says, whoever threw himself upon her protection was saved from tyranny and oppression. And if even she learned that any girl was destitute and friendless, she would bring about her marriage and give her a wedding portion. It is probable that during her reign, no less than 500 orphan girls were thus married and portioned. But Noor Jahan's influence caused more damage to the Mughal Empire. Her interference in the administration and her attempts to make the emperor a puppet in her hands led to troubles which seriously threatened the peace of the empire. She was intelligent, but her haughtiness created many enemies. She went too far in dealing with her enemies, and neither rank nor birth could shield a man against her revengeful spirit. In her attempts to make Shahryar, her son-in-law, as successor to Jahangir, made many nobles to turn against her. She tried to separate Mahabat Khan from Pervez to raise the standard of revolt against Jahangir. He was humiliated on many grounds. Mahabat Khan was a loyal servant of the emperor. Page 71. He played an important role in suppressing the revolt of Khurram, that is Shah Jahan. Since Mahabat Khan was very close to Pervez, she began to suspect him. By her acts, he was compelled to revolt against her. She made the court a center of intrigues. Khurram was also forced to raise the standard of revolt against her. In the beginning, she had Khurram to occupy key positions. But once she started to show interest in Shahryar's candidature to the throne, Nurjahan began to suppress Khurram. As a result, when Khurram was asked to go to Kandahar to expel the Persians from there, he refused to go because he knew that Nurjahan was planning to make Shahryar as the successor to Jahangir. The result was that Kandahar was captured by the Persians. This loss was due to Nurjahan's intrigues. With great difficulty, this revolt was suppressed. It is also alleged that because of Nurjahan's influence, that Jahangir became a pleasure seeker and completely neglected his duties as a king. He himself asserted that Nurjahan was wise enough to conduct the affairs of the state, and he himself wanted only a cup of wine and a piece of meat to keep himself merry. Jahangir was really an intelligent person, but of his excessive indulgence in pleasure-seeking acts, he degenerated himself to a perilous position. Nurjahan must share the blame for this degeneration of Jahangir. Ishwari Prasad points out, the dominating Begum made her husband travel fast on the path of ease, until he ceased to take all interest in public business and began to look upon alcohol as a prudent friend. Most of his regulations remained in abeyance, and the Nurjahan clique managed to or mismanaged as it chose the affairs of the empire. After the death of Jahangir on October 28, 1627, Nurjahan tried to make Shahryar as the ruler, but she was not successful. Asaf Khan took steps to make Shahjahan as the successor of Jahangir. Thus, Nurjahan's role also came to an end. Nurjahan retired from public life and was granted a pension of 2 lakhs of rupees per annum for her comfortable living. She lived in Lahore and led a simple life along with her daughter-in-law, the widow of Shahryar. She died in 1645 and was buried in a tomb beside her husband's grave. 10.15 Contact with Europeans. During the reign of Jahangir, many Europeans visited the court of Jahangir. The most important were the Portuguese and the English. 10.15.1 Jahangir and the Portuguese. During the reign of Jahangir, the Portuguese power in India began to decline. The intrigues of the Dutch and the appearance of the English on the scene made the situation much more difficult for the Portuguese to retain their hold on India. Page 72. They made serious attempts to resist the Dutch and prevent English from gaining ground in the empire. They resented the friendly treatment given to English visitors by Jahangir. The emperor was offended by their hostile attitude. Jahangir retaliated by chastising them. Unable to resist the Mughal power any longer and in view of the growing prospects of the English traders, the Portuguese thought it prudent to come to terms with the Mughals and submitted themselves to the Mughal authority. 10.15.2 Relations with the Jesuits. Jahangir adopted a friendly attitude towards the Jesuits and adopted a liberal policy towards their activities. He met Jesuits when they visited the court during the time of Akbar. Then itself, he had cultivated friendships with the Jesuits. By nature, he was tolerant and extended all facilities for their missionary activities. He even showed an eagerness to know their religion and cherished the possessions of pictures and images of Christ, the Virgin Mary and the saints given to him as gifts by the Jesuits. A beautiful church was built at Lahore during his time. He even allowed his nephews to be baptized by the missionaries. The princes, however, disregarded the new faith to which they were admitted and returned to their old religion. Jahangir's friendly attitude towards the Jesuits represents his broad outlook and tolerance of other faiths. 10.15.3 Relations with the English. The establishment of the East India Company in 1600 was a turning point in the history of India's relations with the West. The English, who were destined to become the masters of India, had to face a lot of difficulties before securing a foothold in the Mughal Empire. Jahangir, in spite of the strong opposition of the Jesuits, was favorably disposed towards the English when they called on him at the court. The first Englishman to visit the emperor was William Hawkins. He arrived in 1608 with a letter from James I to the Emperor of India. He was well received by Jahangir and he became his favorite. Hawkins lived at the Mughal court for about 3 years, that is from 1608 to 11, and enjoyed the hospitality of the emperor. So far as the object of his mission was concerned, he failed to accomplish anything on account of the intrigues of the Portuguese Jesuit missionaries. Undaunted by the failure of the Hawkins mission, the East India Company sent out to India Sir Thomas Roe to the court of Jahangir in 1615. He was both a scholar and a courtier and was well qualified for the job given to him. He remained at the court of Jahangir from 1615 to 1618. Page 73. He succeeded in obtaining a firman from Jahangir allowing the English to trade at Surat. Sir Thomas Roe was accompanied by another Englishman named Edward, who acted as the chaplain of the mission. The journal of Sir Thomas Roe and the diary of the clergyman Edward Terry form a very valuable source for the reign of Jahangir. 10.16. End of the regime. Jahangir's health had been badly shattered due to excessive drinking and indulgence. He became so weak that he could not even ride on the horseback and had to be carried about in a palki. While he was on his way to Lahore from Kashmir, he became seriously ill and died in October 1627, after ruling the country for 27 years. 10.17. Estimate of the reign of Jahangir. In spite of many failures of his reign and certain weaknesses of his character, Jahangir will always remain a fascinating personality in the history of India. A liberal-minded prince, tolerant by nature and inspired by a high sense of justice, Jahangir followed the policies of his father. In a sense, his reign was an extension of that of his illustrious predecessor. Those who knew Jahangir were really perplexed by his complex personality. A fine quality found in Jahangir was his capacity to enjoy nature and its gifts. His administration was characterized by its liberality and a high sense of justice, for which the emperor himself set the example. The famous chain of justice with 60 bells erected by him to enable his subjects to seek a redress of grievance through a direct appeal to the emperor himself was perhaps unparalleled in the history of judicial administration. Jahangir was a highly defined and accomplished person. He possessed an aesthetic sense. He was a patron of arts and letters. He evinced a special interest in painting. His death marked the end of that noble tradition of broad-mindedness, catholicity of outlook, and religious tolerance that characterized the age of the early Mughals. Page 74. 10.18. Let us sum up. Salim, better known as Jahangir, ascended the Mughal throne after Akbar's death in 1605. Immediately after his ascension, his own son Khusro revolted against him, but it was put down. Jahangir mistook that the Sikh Guru Arjun Dev supported Khusro's revolt. As a result, he got him executed. The marriage of Jahangir with Nur Jahan proved a turning point in his career. Nur Jahan's influence affected the fortunes of the empire over a decade. As a queen, immediately appointed her own relatives to important positions in the Mughal Empire and formed a Janta. It is better known as Nur Jahan's Janta or clique. Thus, Nur Jahan, with the help of this group, dominated the affairs of the empire. Jahangir also openly proclaimed that he had bestowed on her the powers of sovereignty. But after the breakup of the Janta, many revolts occurred. Khurram or Shah Jahan and Mahabat Khan revolted against her intrigues. Jahangir was successful in making Mewad ruler Rana Amar Singh to accept his supremacy. In Deccan also, he continued his father's policy. But Kandahar was lost to the Persians as a result of internal conflicts. Many other Rajput fortresses were also conquered. Many Europeans visited his court and Jahangir was friendly towards them. He was broad-minded and liberal. He is a fascinating personality in the history of the Mughals. 10.19. Self-assessment questions. 1. Give an estimate of the reign of Jahangir. 2. Give an account of the role played by Nur Jahan in the Mughal administration during the reign of Jahangir. 10.20. Books for further study. 1. Beni Prasad, History of Jahangir. 2. J. L. Mehta, Advanced Study in the History of Medieval India, Volume 2. 3. S. C. Ray Chaudhary, History of Medieval India. 4. Satish Chandra, Medieval India, From Sultanate to the Mughals, Part 2, Mughal Empire. With that, we come to the end of Unit 10. This unit has been written by Professor Shivanna.